What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What an awesome God we serve. Truly the Lord has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. It's good to be alive, alert and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Happy Resurrection Sunday. He got up. He's not dead. He rose with all power in His hand. Come on, celebrate victory. He's alive and well. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning with verse 22. And we skip down to verses 25 through 28. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 22, and almost all things abide the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year, with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Look at someone, if you will, and say, Jesus paid it all. Come on, shout at somebody and say, Jesus paid it all. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience and say to them, Jesus paid it all. Come on, bless him on your way to your seat. Jesus paid it all. The writer of Hebrews explains the inadequate efforts of man in approaching God through prophets, angels, good leaders, high priests, and the law. For Hebrews shows that these things are inadequate, imperfect, and incomplete. So it is that the Hebrew writer, again, argues that Jesus is greater than the prophets, that he's greater than angels, that he's greater than great leaders, he's greater than high priests, he's greater than the law. It is chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews, he shows that Jesus is greater than the prophets. Chapter 1, verse 4, the Hebrew writer establishes that Jesus is greater than angels. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, he argues that Jesus is greater than every great leader. In chapters 4 through 8, the writer proves that Jesus is greater than the high priest. And in chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, he proves that Jesus is greater than the law. Now, these things are good. They are not bad in and of themselves. They help us to know our need of a Savior, but they cannot make us acceptable to God or give us fellowship with God. Only Jesus Christ makes us acceptable to God and gives us fellowship with God. I thank God for Jesus Christ. There are three things I see in the text that concerns the sacrificial work of Christ. First of all, the sacrificial work of Christ is a forgiving work. Verse 22, because and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Shedding of blood, there is no remission. Notice two words of great importance in verse 22, shedding and remission. The word shedding and remission sandwich, the word blood, that without the blood of Christ, without the shedding of the blood, not spilling of the blood, but the shedding of the blood, there will be or would be no remission. The word shedding means infusion of blood. Fusion means the pouring out of something. To pour implies that it was intentional, deliberate, it was planned, it happened on purpose. That the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary was not accidental, because Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 18, no man takes my life, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. The cross of Calvary was not an accident. It was planned. It was on by the purpose of God that Jesus Christ pour out his blood for us. Not one drop was spilled. It was shed. Not only do I see the shedding of blood, but I also see by the blood there is remission. The word remission means freedom, pardon, deliverance, to release from the penalty of. The writer helps us understand that when Jesus shed his blood, he set us free from the penalty of sin. Y'all don't know when to shout. I tell you, when you think about the penalty of sin, when you think about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, we thank God that we don't have to deal with the penalty because we have received the gift. The writer of Hebrews says that under the covenant of the law, almost all things were purged and cleansed by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no cleansing. There is no forgiveness. This was true throughout the whole reign of the law, from the institution of the law down to the present, that men have always known that they could not live up to the righteous demands of God, that even in obeying some of the law, they were imperfect. Man has always known that someone or something had to pay the price for their sins. You remember Adam and Eve in the beginning, when they sinned, they tried to cover themselves, but God saw through the fig leaves. And so God, he slayed an animal, took the skin of the animal, and put it on Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness and shame. Thanks be to God that thousands of years later, after God made the first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden, that he took the tree of life and placed it on Calvary. You do know that Jesus is the tree of life. And on the tree hang a lamb. And he died to cover us, to protect us and shield us from our own nakedness and shame. Oh, we thank God that Jesus made us acceptable to God, that God sent his son Jesus. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26 verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 verse 9, Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Christ's blood makes us innocent and just before God. It delivers us from the punishment of our sins. You see what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, that it is a forgiving work. I can shout over that because I acknowledge my own imperfections. I acknowledge my sins, that they are ever before me. I acknowledge how frail and fragile I am, and how likely I am to mess up, to sin and error. That's why Paul says, the good that I would do, I don't. And the evil that I would avoid, I find myself doing. Can I get a witness in here? But thanks be to God, as fickle and frail as we are, there is forgiveness because of the sacrificial work of the Lord. Not only is it a forgiving work, it is a finished work. That's what he's saying in verses 25 and 26. He gives the example of the priests of old, that the priests of old had a continual work, that the priests, high priests, entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. The old covenant served as an outward cleansing. In other words, it served as a ceremonial cleansing which made the appearance of man clean. But it did not clean his conscience. So the repetition, the reoccurrence, the replying of the sacrificial ceremony of the high priest was necessary every year. Let me see, could I put it in your lap? You know what it's like to take a bath, and regardless of how hard you scrub and how long you scrub, you can still find some dirt. Matter of fact, you can get in the tub and take a bath and wash yourself thorough. Get out of the tub, wash out the tub, and get back in the tub and wash yourself again, and there will be a ring around the tub because there's some dirt. Regardless of how we scrub and how long we bath, Old Testament sacrifice was like that. When the priest atoned for himself and the people, the sacrifice didn't get them totally clean. They had a stained conscience. It was a continual work of the high priest. But then notice the complete work of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, it says, nor yet that he should offer himself often. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The perfection of Christ's atonement. Eternal redemption. Say, eternal redemption. He died once to eternally redeem us. It's a complete work. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't have to come to earth often and go to a hill called Calvary. He did it one time. And for that reason, we can celebrate the goodness of the Lord, that he didn't punish his son often for our sins. He only punished him one time. It's a finished work. Not only is it a forgiving work, a finished work, but it's a faithful work. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Or the word offered in Greek means to lead. You remember Isaiah 53, verse 7? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his graves with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Father to bruise him, and had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall his righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear the iniquity of us all. Jesus paid it all, because what the prophets couldn't do, Jesus did it. What the angels couldn't do, Jesus did it. What great leaders couldn't do, Jesus did it. What you and I couldn't do, Jesus did it. I thank God for what Jesus did. Y'all know what he did. He went to a hill called Calvary, and he hanged on that old rugged cross. He hanged as a Lamb of God, a Lamb of predestination, a Lamb of paradise, a Lamb of promise, a Lamb of Passover, a Lamb of propitiation, a Lamb of prophecy, a Lamb provided, a Lamb of pardon. He died on Calvary. Is there anybody here? No, he died on Calvary. He was not comatose. He died on Calvary. They took his lifeless body down from Calvary's cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. He only needed it for Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, no Savior and my Savior, no Lord and my Lord, he stood up on resurrection soul and said, all power, heaven and earth in my hand. Is there anybody here? No, he's not dead. He's alive and well. If you know he's alive and well, slip your hands in your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, he died, but he's not dead. Because early Sunday morning, that's where my shout comes from. Early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave and walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his all. And every day with the Lord is better than the day before. Every round goes higher. Can't nobody do
me like Jesus. He put clapping in my hand. He put running in my feet. He put joy in my heart. Peace in my mind. And a shout in my mouth. Hey! Hey! Yeah! 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 Not just for me, but he did it for you. He stayed on the cross. He didn't come down. He did it. He did it. And I'm glad he did. I'm saved because he did. You saved because he did. And if there are anybody who hadn't given their life to Jesus Christ, he did so you can come right now. He did so you can come from wherever you are, whether virtually, whether in the pews right now. He did so you can come and give your life to Jesus Christ. He saved you from your sin. Doors of the church is open. Do we have one? Come on. Come on. Accept. Accept what he did for you by coming and giving your life to Jesus Christ. Do we have one? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The door is open. Come on. The door is open. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, he did it for you. Come on. Come on. Now is the door open. Only for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. But even for those that want to read, dedicate their life to the Lord. You already saved, but you slipped and backslid and want to come and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for a church home, a church family that'll wrap their arms around you, let you be as one with this family. The door is open. You can come. Come on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let us stand. We serve a God who's not just willing, but he able. And I want us to put and keep our faith in him. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, we bow thanking you this morning for this opportunity to come out and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, for him having the power to stay on the cross and you exemplifying the power to raise him up from the dead. Have mercy upon us today. As we go, Lord, and carry this message to the world that he lives and he lives inside of us. Bless, Lord, as we go forth and prepare
the rest of this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.